So I have one more question about the factory. Do you know if towards the end of the war or during the war, many of the workers would have been drafted into the army?
Yeah.
Do you know how your father replaced them? Do you know whether he used, for example, forced laborers from the camps?
No. No, he was, there were some people who were drafted, you know, and they had to leave. But we got the unemployment office, he always found some replacement for the factory, you know, any who can work the machines, you know, the graving and everything. So he had actually no much difficult to find somebody else, you know.
So when you paid out the payroll, were there any East Europeans, Poles, Ukrainians,
no,
Russians?
I'm not at that point yet, you know. I know a lot of people came then into Germany, just like he over here. But at that point, that was just, the war was just over. I don't think there were any yet, you know.
Okay. So there would have been no workers from the Camp Neuen Gamme, for example?
No, I don't think so. No.
Did you visit Neuen Gamme in Hamburg when you were there?
I tell you what, I don't even know that there was Neuen Gamme. Okay. I mean, soon I know the name, but that was any concentration camp. Maybe some people think she's lying. I'm sure she should have known, but I really didn't. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other places. I know a little bit from this friend of my sister Inge, who was made to court after. And I know a little bit from her, like about Theresia and stuff, you know, and from her father. But Buchenwald and all these named Auschwitz, they were absolutely not, I had no idea about them, and I never heard about the names until the war was over.
Okay.
You know, maybe people think they don't believe that, but it's true.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm. Well, there's always this idea that, oh, people didn't know because they didn't want to know and because they didn't care. But, like, I just don't believe that about my grandmother. Like, I don't believe that she, like, heard enough to know if she'd been willing to, like, think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, there isn't that.
There are things you like.
Like, I'm sure there were people like that.
You heard about the Kristallnacht thing. I remember that because that was happening in every major city in Germany who had stores that belonged to Jewish people. And I know that they did that in Hamburg. We had a lot of around the Alster, all those big streets there. And they did that at 12 o'clock at night. Police were standing there watching, and they threw everything, smashed the windows from the showcases there, and everything was what they found. They threw in those fleets, you know, those water canals in Hamburg. They were swimming there, and the police didn't do anything. And in all those stores and cities in Germany, the same thing happened at the same time, you know.
Were you outside during that? Were you outside? Did you see this, or did you read it afterwards?
It was at midnight, you know, and that was in 1938, I remember. November the 9th, So we were living in Hamburg, you know, in the Burgstrasse. So, but I wasn't outside, it was midnight, but we heard about that the next day, I guess,
And did you see any
We saw, the smashed windows and the dummies, from those.
Like the mannequins and stuff?
They, swimming in the water, or so that was happening in all major cities where stores who belong to Jewish people, you know.
Did you already say your father was somewhere else that day or something like that? And
my father was in Breslau, in Schlesien, you know, and that was on business. And I know that was the same night, and when he came back, he told us about that. So that's why I knew
it was everywhere.
It wasn't on camera, you know?
Yeah.
Right. And what did your father say about that or think about that?
My father, he told us about it. I mean, my father felt the same thing about the Nazis and everything, and as long as he lived, you know. And this is the same with me. I never forget that, you know. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a Jewish Jew. I have a book there.
Yeah.
He was at Auschwitz, you know, mm-hmm. and he was at McNally Robertson and had wrote a book and about his life. He was from Hungary. He was a very young little boy in Hungary. And he lost his father, his mother, everybody. And he was just dragged from one concentration camp to the other. Mm-hmm. And in the very end, he landed in with Canadian people. There was a lady from Winnipeg who was wanted to have people. And I talked with him about it. And so that's the way he came to Winnipeg, mm-hmm. you know. His name is Jack Weiss. I mean, this is not his Hungarian name. But he met his wife here, and she was born in Winnipeg, or in Canada. And when I bought the book, and I read it, and then I looked in the phone book, and I found his name. And I called him not so long ago. And I wanted to thank him for writing that book. And we talked a long time ago, you know, and now he's retired. He was working as a bus driver and all kinds of things in Winnipeg, you know. And so...
Now, in the 1930s, after Hitler came to power, visited Hamburg several times.
Yeah.
Do you remember any of that?
Yeah, I know. He was standing in a car, you know, going through the streets. But he didn't come to Hamburg too good, very much, mm-hmm. because Hamburg was sort of not very, it wasn't like Berlin, you know? And so he didn't like Hamburg too good, too much, you know? He didn't come too often. But I know when he came, people lined up on the street and greeted him. And he was standing in the car. And
did you actually see him in person?
Yeah, in the street, you know, when he was going by, I remember that.
Can I ask a question? But, I wanted, Oma, like when, how long did it take for you to know that Hitler was not a good thing? And like, how long, like, did right away your father, like, because I, like, at first, like, most people were like, Hitler's really good for Germany, you know? Like, wasn't he, like, man of the year or something like that? And, like, he was pretty well received, like, right at the beginning. And, like, I just wonder...
He was...
like, what did your father think of him?
As Reichschancellor, 1933. But he had this book, Mein Kampf.
Yeah, right.
And my father had it at home. We had it at home.
Really?
So you just had to read that book, I guess. You know exactly. I mean, never did read the book, but my father.
But it was in your house, and
so you know
it was
what he planned to do. You know.
So
and
right
it
away,
was,
it was.
Yeah,
there was
it
never
was clear that was what he had in mind and how that would be. Eh? Mm-hmm. So that this. And he promised, we had a lot of unemployed people in 1930s, like, at the very beginning.
Yeah, the Depression.
And he promised everybody a work, you know? Mm-hmm. You all got to work, you know? So why? Because he built autobahns, not because so the Germans can drive nicely, no, for the military.
Yeah, nothing helps the economy like the war.
Can arrive any place, you know. Mm-hmm. So all these things, what he did and promised them, and you go all going to have work. So because he started the war, you mean that was.
Yeah. But right away, you understood that was what was going on, and it wasn't
had
good
job,
for Germany,
you know. Mm-hmm. But they
the cost was like something you were aware of.
War. You know, this is the way it started, and so. Mm. Yeah.
And do you remember the beginning of the war?
Oh, yeah. I know I was, that was 1939 in September. I was working there at my father's, and I know we were, I was working in the office with that other lady, and she had a brother who was, had to join the army, and she cried already, and then she said that they we heard, right? The war started in 1939 in September. Right?
Yeah.
We listened to many things here. Yeah. I have these two books that there was the Winds of War. I don't know if you know Herman Bock. He wrote two books, The Winds of War and War and Remembrance. And then I had the books, I read them, and then they all of a sudden made a movie out of it. Robert Mitchum, they know, maybe if you know the name, he played the Navy Admiral there in there, and I got the movie too. We watched all that, you know?
Yeah, it's a number DVD,
you know, two packages, you know?
And those are always things that, in some ways, they're interesting to watch with my mom, because you have a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You have a more, like, you were there. You have a clear...
I get so mad.
You get so mad.
She gets so mad. And, like, that's...
The kids always say, why don't you watch it? Don't watch it.
Let's watch for a while and then turn it off. And then.
Yeah, but, like, and then that was never something that, like, it's not like she didn't want to be talking about it or didn't want us to know about it and didn't want to, like, pretend and, like, avoid stuff that would remind her. Like, as mad as she would always get, and as much as we would be like, you know, you get so angry, just, like, you know.
We should watch this together. You should read this book. You should watch, like, this. You should know this.
It seems,
you know,
like she gets as mad now as ever in her life. Like, it hasn't gotten any less emotional at all. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's just the kind of thing where, you know.
Yeah, it's just the videos when you watch.
You know, this was not something that was easy for her to live through, because it's still as real and as awful as it was ever.
From Nuremberg, when they had the trial, and the hammer going, somebody plays the hammer going, oh, they're all getting up at this guilty. You know, not foolish, and it's foolish. Oh, that makes me so mad. I mean, so it is so terrible.
Mm. Yeah. And that is part of that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah. There's a different, like the War and Remembrance. That's a different one. But there was another movie specifically on the Nuremberg trial.
Yeah,
trial, whatever. That was the newer one. But again, it's more interesting than just a movie for me, because it's the historical content, but also you can verify so much of it, and it's about a history that you were directly involved in. So for me, it's different in that way. We should be watching these things because we have to learn about these things.
Yeah, like it's not just interesting to learn about, or a good story, a good movie. There's a, like, we are responsible to at least know what happened, and to know the part that the country that we're all from played in, and to know it really well, and to know what really, to the best of, like, historical record, like, to, you know, not just take a simple version of it, or take a... like, you know, really pro-Germany or whatever, but just to, like, try to have as honest and, like, balanced an account as we can, and, like...
Oh, and what I think...
To be...
In those kinds of movies, the things that drives me the craziest is... I mean, you talk about how in Germany you didn't really know, and then you got little bits of information along the way, but other countries kept getting this information from Germany, and this is all very historical as well. And it's in those movies that you watch, they just didn't believe it, and they didn't believe it, and they got the little, you know, clues and hints. Wake up and pay attention, didn't know, and that frustration too. Yeah, did nothing. It's an interesting perspective. Or they didn't care, they didn't believe or want to believe that Hitler was actually doing what he was doing in those camps and those kinds of things. I mean,
and that's just, like, another part of, like, how genuine, like, almost, like, frustration is of, like, and why I, like, have never wondered if it was true that she really didn't know, because, like, I see her so angry at the people who did know, and, like, it's, she wishes she knew and wishes she had known enough to be able to do something, because, like, and, like, and when she talks about people, you know, Holocaust denial and like that kind of thing of just like, this happened, you people knew about it, and you know, you were political leaders or military people and you could have done something, and I was living there, and like nobody's telling us, and
you know, but you have to be very careful.
I know
what you said, you know,
and that trapped feeling that,
I mean, you always thought about yourself like if you talk about it or do people hear what how you talk, and they report you? It was very.
But also for someone that you knew, because you knew Inga and her family and Kurt's family.
Oh yeah, I know. Lady went with my sister, went with her. Her father and for a long time. Eh?
Did you said that you were too old to have to join the BDM.
Were you
asked or forced to join any other Nazi organization?
No, they didn't ask me, you know. I just knew that I was about 17, I think, that I didn't have to join, you know. I remember that. There was a certain age, and my sister was 1 year younger than I am, and she was. She had to do join the girls, eh? And so, the same with my brother. Mm.
So one organization that was particularly big was the Winterhilfswerk. I don't know if you remember.
Winterhilfswerk. Oh yeah, I know that. This is more for helping them, especially for the front, you know? Mm-hmm. You know how Germany wasn't prepared to go to Russia, for instance. Mm-hmm. Everybody said that. I mean, a lot of people, when he went in there, in Russia. Yeah, this is the end of him. Eh? Mm-hmm. He never made it to Moscow. He made it to Stalingrad. But there are a lot of things what the Winterhilfe, when you supply things, you know, for the front, you know, for the soldiers and things. I remember the name, the Winterhilfe, that was an organization to help that.
But you didn't participate in this?
No, okay. No, we gave some money, they collected maybe coming to from door to door, I think. Mm-hmm. Or my father, maybe through the firm. You know, mm-hmm. Maybe he did that.
Do you know if your father was a member of any Nazi?
No, my father was.
He was not forced to as a factory owner?
No, he didn't have, he did never join, and he didn't, he didn't have to.
It seemed like he just had to do enough that he got away with it, and that was always what he had to try to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And do you remember the Kraft durch Freude, the Strength Through Joy?
With those trips, you know, mm-hmm. I know that. Mm-hmm. But there was this big ship that sank, I think, by Ostfrosen, eh?
Yes.
And there were,
yes,
the
Wilhelm Gustloff.
Yeah, I know that. Yes. The Gustloff, that was the name. Mm.
Do you know these organizations? Have you heard about
them? That doesn't sound familiar.
No.
I mean, the Hitler
some
youth,
of them,
that, yeah.
But
no, this was a trip you bought. You could on the ship. But, I mean, there were one ship hit and completely sank, you know. And I don't know what was it during the war?
In January 1945.
Yeah. Or 45.
Yeah, like not like the names of the organizations, but like the idea that like it was made to be part of every aspect of German life and like every, like the propaganda and the like organizations mm-hmm. at like every level. It was just like a completely like whatever, like it's a totalitarian regime, right? So it's totalized, every part has to be about reaffirming the belief in the like nation and the task and that this is what is necessary and this is, you know, good and we're working towards something together and all that idea. So like some of these names aren't familiar, but like it makes sense that everything on every level it existed and mm-hmm. and just like that they managed to stay out of these things as much as they did, like that, you know, they were in the Hitler Youth and that was it.
Did you talk to a lot of Germans here already?